Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 130, and it is titled Foraging Food for Free. And today's day is the 21st of August 2017. Today I have the usual diary of where I'm talking about what's happened in the last week, and in particular this relates to blight that I spoke to a couple of weeks ago. Then after that I'm going to discuss a little on foraging for food, free, safely and legally. It's really quite interesting when you get into it, but it's just a little bit of information for everyone. So, but before all that, let's talk about what's happened in this last week. Now, again, the weather in the last week has made things very difficult, although I did visit the allotment a couple of times and do a bit of weeding, which has helped. I'm just trying to keep all the weeds down and make it look a bit tidier, I guess. However, I haven't actually needed to water, as the rain's just doing that for me anyway. One evening at home, I did manage to test out my new cold smoker and smoke some cheese, which doesn't really relate to vegetable growing at the moment, but I'm hoping to experiment with some vegetables to smoke or use wood from fruit trees and to smoke. So it may not sound like it relates much to our hobby, but it all will tie in together. Saturday, I went down the allotment and first of all, I started the barbecue and smoked a pork joint. And then continued doing a lot of weeding, and I'm getting through quite a lot. At the moment, weeding is quite a priority because it's been so warm and wet. Weeds are just germinating like mad and growing like mad, so I'm trying my hardest to stay on top of them. And it works. Just got to carry on with it. Last week I mentioned that my tomatoes started to get blight. Well, this blight has got a lot worse. I meant to sort it out last week, but time kind of got in the way of things, and as I'm now on 2 weeks off from work, I was kind of pushing it off till this week. What I would say, still, the Mountain Magic don't seem affected at all. The Crimson Crush, just shrugging it off, but the others are pretty bad. So the Mountain Magic for me is actually looking amazing. So I think for future years I'll be growing that. I then dug up the giant onions that I grew from seed. And some of them were decent, but they weren't giant onions like I was hoping. Nevertheless, I got a few onions out of it, a decent size, and it's been a bit of a learning curve for me, I guess it would be the right way to say it. So I'll be doing them again next year from seed. I'm going to look after them a bit better, try and get them out a bit sooner, and so on. Now, the area I cleared the onions from, I've cleared a lot of the weeds that were growing on top. And I've then dug over, trying to remove any little bit of root I can find. And this is just getting it prepared for next year. Because although not much is going to be happening on that plot over the winter, come next year I want it to be easy to look after. After this, I headed over to my potatoes and emptied 3 more bags of the Home Guard potatoes. Again, these are pretty poor crop, so it's been a bit of a disappointment this year, but I think that's got the Home Guards out of the way for this year now. I'm still after hearing from any others about these, so we can try and figure out a bit of a what's gone on this year. What I will say, when I cooked these, I actually roasted them and they roasted really well. So I'm pretty pleased with what I did have, although I could have done with more. I examined my apple trees, as I'm getting the impression they're going to be ready soon. In fact, on the eater apple tree, I had one apple ready, and this was picked and will be used. The cider apple trees aren't quite ready, but I'm hoping they'll be ready within the next couple of weeks so I can turn those into cider. I also harvested a few leeks, a decent sized beetroot, and quite a few French beans, and these have worked out really, really well. Sunday, I was at home and I noticed my outdoor tomatoes had got blight. So before I came on air, I've been cutting out all the blight that I can get. And then after I finish recording, I will be burning them. The wife and I also set about trimming back the hedges, the ivy and bushes, including the raspberry canes. The raspberry canes were basically growing over the paths, so they had to go back. And I've been putting it off until I'd finished harvesting, which I had with those. I also had to pick some rhubarb because, like the raspberries, the rhubarb were growing off over the path and they were making the path, well, they had taken over the path in places, so making it passing difficult, and the stalks were going rotten and slippery. So I've got a good lot of rhubarb. Now, really, I think it was too late to harvest rhubarb, but I had no choice. Just want to add that for the ivy and some of the higher up trees, I'm using an extendable pole trimmer, and it is a godsend. It makes life so much easier and manageable. So that is the diary now basically taken care of for this week. As I say, I'm off for the next couple of weeks, so I'm planning to do quite a few things, such as like tonight going down and burning some stuff just to get the blight gone. So foraging food for free. Now, this is a subject I came up with when we took a walk last week, and we walked down this path that I've walked quite a few times. But as I was walking down it, we just came across so much edible stuff. And we've gone back and picked some bits and pieces. But it was amazing how much was there. I mean, we had, obviously, blackberries, sloes, elderberries, and so on. But we also had apples, plums, cherry plums. And it was amazing how much stuff we found down there. And I think for those who don't have any growing space at home or only have a small space, I think it's good to find other places where they can get food from as well. I remember when I lived in my flat and money was tight, I'll put it like that. I had a flat to myself and paying the rent and everything, as everyone will testify to. The prices add up. So I ended up foraging for quite a bit of food just to make my life easier. And I also remember when I had Steve from Seaside Life on the podcast, he mentioned his mother foraging and how much food she found. And it was absolutely amazing, his story with what his mother found. So it's a great idea if you can do it. But of course, it always starts with a few rules, and I think one of the biggest rules, and certainly the biggest questions, is around legal, or the legality of it. And in fact, if you're asking if it is legal to forage for food on land which you don't own, as long as you're not going to sell it or for reward. So it's basically for personal use. And that is under the Theft Act of 1968. Then there is the Wildlife and Countryside Act of 1981, which says it is illegal to uproot a whole plant or forage in places of special scientific interest. Now, where these special sites of special scientific interests are, they generally are signed quite well when you're in the areas. However, you can also find them online in various places should you need to. So that is basically the legal side of thing. And I personally think it's always important to not pick anything off private property. After all, how would you like it if somebody came into your garden and foraged from your garden? It's not fair, is it? They do say that overhanging plants, if they're on a public walkway, it's allowed, but I think that's a bit cheeky, personally. Unless you get permission from the landowner, I don't do that at all. However, I do find just walking down public walkways and finding things that are growing, that can be eaten, to be the best way. I think it's also important to correctly identify what you are picking, so you know that you are eating what you are thinking of what to eat. So for this, I've had a really good book I've had for years called Food for Free. And I'll add an Amazon link to this on the blog page. And this book, I've got it in the small pocket format. It is brilliant. It shows pictures of what you can forage and what it looks like and where to find it and what time of year and so on. So that is a really, really handy book. Of course, if you know what you're looking for, go ahead and do it. Something else I'm always trying to bear in mind when I'm finding food out foraging is the area it's growing. So if it's anywhere near any foul water courses or a busy roadside where it basically can get contaminated from pollutants and not nice stuff, I don't want to be eating that, so that can go away. And as I said, I'd like to just take a few walks every now and then and just take note of where food appears and to be growing and what time of year, where it is, how good it looks, etc., etc. Just nothing simple. I mean, one of the best ways I find nowadays is with an iPhone, just taking a picture of it, and it logs its GPS coordinates and the date and everything. So that is probably the simplest way we're using modern technology to do this sort of thing. And I've also found it's good to have several spots that I can find various things from. That way I'm not picking so much from just one area and I'm leaving a lot more for kind of nature in various areas. After all, birds and wildlife will eat what we don't. So what about the food we can find? I've got a list of a few things that are kind of easy to find and recognise. And probably the easiest thing that we can say is blackberries. I'm sure everybody in the UK at least will have picked blackberries from the roadside at some point. These fruits grow on brambles, and brambles grow in scrubland, hedgerow, anywhere they can get a hold of. And of course, the fruits are really tasty and can be used in jams, curds, crumbles, you name it. It can be used. Apples, I find, growing in the wild in lots of places. Quite often by the side of roads where somebody has eaten an apple and just thrown a core out of the window and it's kind of rotted down in place and grown into an apple tree. Some could be crab apples or varieties that are not very nice. But if you find a good one, it's worth taking a note where they are. And once you start looking for them, you'll suddenly find lots of them. Sloes, these are found on the blackthorn trees or bushes. They're easily recognisable. They're small purple-black fruits which grow on a thorny tree or bush, where the thorns are sort of an inch long. Harvesting them, I recommend gloves, because you do get pricked quite a bit. And sloes are actually an ancestor to the plum. But when you eat the sloes fresh, they have quite an astringent flavour. but they're commonly used to flavour gin in what is known as slow gin. You can also use sloes to make jams and various other things. Again, it's a great flavour. Nettles. You probably recognise nettles straight away, and these are a really good forager plant. The flavour is actually quite similar to spinach. And again, these grow pretty much everywhere. Of course, they sting the hell out of you, but gloves and what have you is all you need. I do find the nettles are best when young, and early spring is probably the best time to use these. But they do make a really nice soup, should you ever try it. My last one is one that I found on my path, my walk. It's a bit of a wild card one, and it kind of only works if you live near a coast. It's a plant called marsh samphire. We found this on our walk, and it's like a delicious salty vegetable green. Easy to forage, just cut off, but leave them. Don't harvest too much and leave the plant to carry on growing. And they tend to grow where the sea would come in and cover them at high tide. And they are a bit of a salty flavour to them. They're quite a crunchy, but they are nice. I find they're great in salads and various other dishes. Now, of course, there is much, much more food that can be foraged. Once I started looking for food, I kept finding it, and I still to this day keep finding it. And when I lived alone, didn't have much money, I supplemented my diet with foraged foods, and it really did work for me then. Nowadays, I'm trying to grow as much food as I can in my gardens, and foraged foods, I kind of feel that is probably a resource I'm not using enough. After all, I'm not buying it, I can get hold of it, and it's grown pretty much chemically free, if you know where you're getting it from. So, anybody else done any foraging? Let me know, get in touch, and we'll try and share everyone's experiences, as always, on the show. So I'm going to wrap up for this week, and I'm going to go and burn all this stuff now, which I'm be pleased to get done. Please don't forget, there's only a few weeks for the photo competition, and that's on my website, thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. To find out more, please visit there and get in touch with me. Anything you want to add, I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, please take care, and I will speak to you all again next time.